Good morning. And welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. We have a few announcements this morning. First of all, the calendar on the back. Wednesday at 6:30 is the elders meeting. Thursday, bike group, whatever that is. What's the bike? Oh, that's been canceled, so forget that. And Saturday is a car wash, correct? Okay, what time is the car wash? Nobody knows. Okay, Saturday there is a car wash.
Yes.
We just don't know what time.
I have a sign-up sheet right here if anybody would care to participate.
Okay. Okay.
I have towels and stuff to wash the cars. I just need help.
All right. And Tuesday is a work day, and hands are always needed for that. Are there any other announcements?
No work day.
Okay, there's no work day either, so just forget that. Is there anything else we want to cancel? I guess that's that. Any other announcements? No. The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn this morning is found in the Chalice Hymnal on page 86. Great is thy faithfulness, and please stand. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let us pray. Deliver us, loving God, from minds that are distracted, from wills that are stubborn, from hearts that are cold, so that we can worship you unreservedly and joyfully in the name of our Jesus, our Lord and Savior. For it is in your name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Thank you. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. We know we can't do everything, but we can do something. We are aware of limitations, but we are also aware of opportunities. Let us make use of these opportunities by presenting to God our morning offering. Our offertory hymn this morning is in the Chalice Hymnal, page 464, God of Grace and God of Glory, verses 1, 2, and 5.
Thank you. us, loving God, always to know that whatever is given in your name will be blessed by you and used to bring about positive changes in our world. I ask these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture this morning is Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Our anthem this morning is I've Got Peace Like a River by our summer choir.
It probably seems to most of us that certain days we feel like we're drowning in troubles and confusion. I guess all we need to do is turn on the television, and that kind of confirms it. And we can see the chaos that we reap because of man's inhumanity to man. Into such a world came a Prince of Peace. And as he appeared on the Sea of Galilee, he whispered peace. For the peace which Christ brings is superior to the storms of life. It is a peace with God and a peace within oneself. It is heaven's perfect peace. Christ only has the answer. So into this world, into the world the disciples went, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, because this is what he told them. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
I've got peace like a river. like that. I'm very, very nervous today, so if my voice sputters or speaks, you know, squeaks or anything like that, just bear with me. So this is the pastoral prayer. Any joys that we have that we want to come to the Lord with today? Sure. Cool.
Just had a good week.
So they enjoyed the Olympics?
Yes, I think they did.
Fantastic. Anyone else? Heidi?
My name is Peter. You're one of the ones who are pretty sure. He's up in 3 pounds now.
Ooh.
He's wonderful. He does well, so I have a pretty clear interpretation in his testimony. Now, maybe, but I'm hoping to ask him about how he can feel for the maybe he can start to be in.
Well, that's fantastic. That's great. Any other joys, Roxanne?
Yes. First
How about any concerns? Gary?
Yeah, just want to mention about the good friend of mine who's been on our prayers for quite some time, Brian Clark. He's been battling cancer for 17 years now. He had spongy paralysis in his lower extremities. They operated last Monday, I think it was, and he's now paralyzed from the waist down. But attitude has everything to do with how you feel with life. Larry, who's been in pain all his 17 years, said, well, you know, he's a lot of pain. So he has a good attitude towards it. I think that, you know, our attitude is how we feel with life. That's what we do with you. Our attitude is how we feel with life. There's a man who lives the way every day. So it's like a very well.
Anyone else? Hi. Fantastic. Joe, wave at everyone. There you go. Let's see Joe's thing. Anyone else? Lily? Anyone else? Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. Make sure you put your prayer request on the back of the card for Jack. Lily, I ask you once again, tell me what you said. Then I'm glad I didn't mention your dog. So, your throat. Okay. Anyone else?
Sure. I just let Jackie go. My daughter Lisa and her husband Reese and two nursing children, Emily and Bryce, are heading to Texas. They might even be there. They're going to Austin, Texas in 2 weeks, and they took Hannah. This is Hannah's first big trip like this, so she's a little bit nervous.
Are they flying or driving?
Driving?
Yes. So they're getting to exploring how big Texas is once they get down. If there's no one else, I do have one for myself. My cousin Michelle, who we've talked about over the last couple of weeks with the radical mastectomy and stuff like that, the first biopsy report's back, coming back, and says she's cancer-free. And that means a lot for my family because she's 38 years old. And she got young kids, and she means a lot to our family. So, you know, praise God for that. Anyone else? Let us enter into a spirit of prayer. Dear God in heaven, we thank you for so much. We thank you for kids. We thank you for grandkids. We thank you for the beautiful summer heat that's coming down upon us. Let us remember this in January. The choir sang such a beautiful song today, Lord, about having peace, love, and joy in our souls. Let us always have those things in our souls for others. We thank you so much for our vacation Bible school, going very well. The kids coming down there and the adults that helped, the people who put forth their efforts to make this done. We pray for Heidi's friend who had the 3-pound baby, was premature. We ask that you help this family with the severe infection and just let the baby have nourishment, let the baby do well. So glad for Roxanne, everything that's going on with her family, with Kate, and the happiness that's there. We pray that you look down in your mercy and your grace. And we help Larry, who's got a great attitude. Attitude goes so far, Lord. And just help him beat his cancer. Joey, with his surgery, it's great to see him out of there. It's amazing what the doctors can do, Lord. Thank you for grabbing their hand with him today. Lily with her throat, glad that she can speak to me. I'm glad that she can make her, well, her prayers known to you, Lord. We ask that you come down and look upon Ellie there, make sure that her rash clears up and that, you know, it's nothing but just a rash, it's just a skin thing. We pray for your mercy and your grace, and we ask that you guide Hannah to Texas and that she may enjoy her first road trip to that big old state and enjoy Austin. I thank you for the grace and for the glory and for the peace that you've given my family with Michelle. She's very special to us, Lord. We want to keep her for a long time. God, thank you for all the mercies and all the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for everything that breathes through our soul through the mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen. Like to have our kids come down for the junior sermon. We're going to sing. Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, BBS.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, we're going to go up on the stage, and you can sit there and watch Okay, all the kids who are in VBS, come on up. The adult. So that when we're singing our first song,
yeah, if you would, because we have to sing that.
And the way to give the kids some support. Okay. The first song we're singing, oh, of course you can have, thank you. Okay, the first song we're singing, it's a song, the grown-ups against the kids, versus the kids, or however you want to say it, so. And it's Come Follow Me. We don't need words for that. Okay.
You are awesome.
to have a pretty song. 10,000 Reasons. Oh, and start. Kids love this song. You got your arms ready, your feet ready, and spinning around and all that. Okay.
Oh, go ahead, honey.
Okay, we're going to sing God is on the Move. And these kids are on the move this week. Okay, get ready.
Move like a bird.
yet. Go down to your class or up to class.
You're coming up with me.
Once again, just give thanks to the Lord for the people who do Vacation Bible School. That's just amazing. So. And I couldn't help but think, watching these kids right now, thinking 50 years from now, are they going to have a bunch of kids with them singing to the church like that? You know, I mean, that's the future of the church right there. So, it's just amazing. Scripture today, John 8, 1 through 11. It's on page 100 of your Bibles in your pews. Then each of them went home, while Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law of Moses, commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way from now on and do not sin again." Blessed be the reading of the Lord. You know, I can imagine standing there that day, that summer day or whatever it was, with the Pharisees. It wasn't a good thing to be a Pharisee, it seemed like back then. It was just sort of like, you know, you read in the Bible all the time, it was always Jesus against the Pharisees. And, you know, the Pharisees, they were just basically merchants, middle-class people who believed in life after death, but they also believed in a lot of tradition. So they bring this woman in front of Jesus. She was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Well, sometimes we like to imagine that this woman was Mary Magdalene. We don't know if it's true or not, right? But we do know the woman was brought before Jesus, right, on the charges of adultery, right? And they were ready to react the way that they were taught to react. The way they were taught to react is this. This is a good stone. Weighs probably about 5 pounds. It's got good edges on it and stuff like that. And this is what they were ready to do to this woman. Right here. Throw that stone at her. I can imagine being in that crowd and testing Jesus like that. This new Messiah. This person has come out of nowhere. Because we know what the law is. We're Pharisees. We know what the law is. And Jesus, this new Messiah, doesn't even pay us any attention. He just keeps on teaching, doing what he wants to do. And we have our stones, and we're ready to go. Jesus just straightens up. It says one of the most famous one-liners in Bible history. "He who is without sin cast the first stone." Now I know if I would have been there at that time with the Pharisees, that would have made me put down my stone and walk away. It's not the way that we were taught to react to something like that. We were taught to react that when a woman sins like that with adultery, we stone her to death. That's what we do. And Jesus came along and said a one-liner and made us rethink everything. You know, we were ready to strike her down, furious anger, righteousness, till he came along. When I read this, I think to myself all the time, how do I react to the situation? How do I react to a situation that makes people realize that I'm a Christian? How do I react to a situation when my granddaughter, Miss Faith Elizabeth Vinoversky, sitting down here, comes up to me and asks me a question about something that she sees on TV? Or how do I react when a youth group member comes up to me and says that they don't understand what happened? Because you see, I've got my stone. I was taught how to react on some situations. Right? But how do I react as a Christian? How do I react so people that I work with, right? I work with a bunch of guys. Right? Guys are not the most open to Christianity many times. But how do I react to them? All right, that people can look at me and say that I'm a Christian. Right? You know, there's different ways that we can react. Right? There's different ways that we can portray ourselves, right, into different situations. And I start always thinking to myself, how do I react to different things? And I know one way that I do react sometimes, which I don't think is appropriate, but I do it, and it's something that Chris has said many times. Right? During our Sunday school class, Chris has said that the opposite of love is not hate, because hate is a reaction. Right? Picking up a stone and stoning someone is a reaction. Right? When you go, okay, I'll pass the butter, that indifference, that is the opposite of love, indifference. You know, when we see something like a young man who is disturbed, who kills 5 police officers in Dallas, Texas, how do we react to that? When our kids come up and ask us, when our kids come up and say, Grandma, how do I feel about this? Do we react with indifference and say, that's a shame, but at least they're not killing cops down on Crawford Avenue? You know, how do we react to something that happens in France? You know, well, that's great. You know, that's great, Faith. You know, that's great, Amy. You know, that happened over in France, so let's make sure it doesn't happen here on Memorial. Indifference. Just that belief that, hey, it didn't happen here, so it's a little bit better because it happened somewhere else. And we can be indifferent to some things. Another way that we can react is as the Pharisees reacted that day. Right? I do have a problem with this. But sometimes when I see something like 2 cops murdering someone in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, sometimes I have a tendency to say, well, I'm a Christian, I don't do that. Just like the Pharisees said, oh, thank God, I'm not like them. I'm sure the 2 cops who murdered that young man in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, were Christians too. And we really need to realize that sometimes, I do at least, that just me being a Christian doesn't do it. All right? It just doesn't mean that I'm above this, that God made me in a different way, that I don't sin, and I would never do anything like that. And the other way that we can react, and this is my favorite way of reacting, is with anger, is with that stone. Because when we're angry about a situation, all right, when we see that a young Muslim has murdered 49 people in Orlando, Florida. It's very easy to take this rock with anger. At least for me, it's very easy to take this rock and just toss it at people, all right? Because it gives me something concrete that I can do. All right, it's a rock. I can throw it. You know, according to Westboro Baptist Church, that anger and stuff like that, all gays deserve to die anyway, so why not throw the rocks at them? That anger that we see today, that's such an easy thing to portray. But what did Jesus teach us? What did Jesus teach us? One word. The hardest thing to do in the word. One word. It's an F word. And he said it from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I've always tried to look at things to seek first to understand. To try to understand why someone would murder 49 people in Orlando, Florida. Why someone would be so upset that they would kill five cops in Dallas, Texas. Why someone would be so upset that they would murder someone in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. In order to seek first to understand, I must forgive. Forgiving and mercy sometimes is the hardest thing in the world to do. It's not popular. It's not something that you see movies written about. It's not something that you see games about, video games. You play video games. There is no mercy in video games. There is no forgiveness in video games. When you see the popular movies today, it's all about getting revenge, getting everything back, picking up that stone, and getting what's due to you. There is no forgiveness in those things. When you think of books today, there's really no books written about forgiveness or mercy. And I think, as Christians, sometimes the hardest thing in the world to do is to forgive someone. Mercy. I know this year, when I was at church camp, we talked about forgiveness. We took these little pieces of paper, and we wrote names on these pieces of paper. Names of people who, in our life, we might not have forgiven. Right? And I thought I'd play along with this, right? Because 4 years ago, my life was shattered. And I had realized that I had never forgiven this person for it. And I wrote down this name on a piece of paper. We took them, we consecrated them, we asked God for forgiveness for them. We put them on a cross in the shape of a pinwheel. Right? And we lit them on fire. And they sort of spun around and the ashes dispersed to the wind. And as they dispersed to the wind, I realized to myself that I probably felt 5 pounds lighter. Everything that I've been carrying in my life about this person, all the hate, all the bitterness, all the despair, all the depression, all the feeling that I was a failure, everything that I felt about this person, once I forgave them, was lifted away from me. And that was the hardest thing in the world for me to do, is to forgive someone. Because in our society, it's portrayed as being weak. It's portrayed as not being strong. And when I forgave this person, literally, I felt 5 pounds lighter. And what I was filled with was so much better than what I let go. Jesus looked down from the cross as he was being nailed there. The strongest man I ever knew, we nailed to a cross. And as he looked down, he said, Father, forgive them. That would have made a horrible movie. I mean, in our movies, we should have had, you know, Jesus come down, and he took the nails out, and he made them into silver bullets, and he wiped out the Romans, and, you know, all this other stuff. But it didn't happen like that. He quietly forgave them. It's hard to forgive because you want that stone. You want that justice. You want someone to know how much that they've hurt you or how much they've done wrong. I learned that day that I had to take my stone and let go of it. And I had to lay it at the altar of the Lord. And since that day, it's been so much better in my life. So my fervent prayer to you is that when you look at something and you want to seek first to understand, and you want to teach your children mercy and forgiveness, the hardest things but the best things, lay that at their feet, in their altar. I want my stone, but I want it no more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And now we go to... I didn't look. I'm sorry. I forgot. What's next?
Communion hymn
Communion. Yeah. Anyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior can come down to this table and enjoy communion with us. And I believe Cheryl has our meditation.
I just want to say that was a wonderful message. Thank you for sharing that. And I know what you mean about being nervous. Yes, so I am too, but you look calm, so hopefully I look calm. And I'm going to talk about sanctuary. The definition of sanctuary is a place of refuge or safety, a nature reserve or a holy place, temple or church. Synonyms include haven, oasis, shelter, retreat, hideaway, and so on. With all the hatred and violence in our world, it is sometimes hard to find a place that we truly feel safe and secure. But there are places to find refuge. Refuge from the daily unknowns can be found in casual conversation with lifelong friends or a good book. Refuge from the workday world can be found in a familiar vacation spot. Refuge from deadlines and pressure can be found in a relaxing hobby. I personally find peace and serenity spending time in my garden. Most importantly, refuge is found in the pursuit of deep friendship with God. Finding refuge is not finding an escape. Refuge is asylum, a period of peace, joy, and fulfillment. We don't need to go very far to find a holy place. It's our sanctuary. Look around at our sanctuary. Our sanctuary has been here for a long time. It is full of old features that are absolutely breathtaking and timeless, with our stained glass windows, the amazing architecture of our ceiling and our pews, and the beautiful sounds that come from our organ. Modern additions over recent years have added comfort and beauty that includes the pew padding, the air, much needed air conditioning, and the beautiful cross that hangs over our baptistry. Looking around the sanctuary, the true beauty lies in those who sit in the pews, each and every person, from a newborn baby to our older adults. In Psalm 9, verses 9 to 10, it reads, "The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." We come here every Sunday to have communion with our Lord and Savior, along with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus is our refuge. Let us trust in him and seek him. And now, Heidi.
Let us pray. We come here, Father, for your love, but we realize we're not easy to love. We're stingy. We're careless. We're mean. We're impatient. We're judgmental. But we come here knowing that we can tell you the problems we are having, why we act sometimes the way that we do. And what you do for us, Lord, is you give us answers. You put little thoughts in our head that shows us where we can improve, where we can make a change, where we can forgive, and where we can help. And because of that, we come here to celebrate your life and your love and our love forever. Amen.
For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again."
If you wish to accept Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come as we sing. The invitational hymn is Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. That's really cool. Number 594, verses 1 through 5. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship, we thank you for the grace, and we thank you for the mercy that you have extended to us. We ask that you keep this congregation together in both faith, spirit, and family. Bring us all together next week. Now may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from another. Amen.